Politics, time to talk that. Now, Parliament resumed today for the penultimate fortnight of its sittings before the long run-up or down, depending on your preference, to the September 14 election. It's also the first sitting of Parliament since Budget Week, so that gives it a bit of spice. As usual, various Senate committees now pouring through the detail of the government finances. The government itself focused on getting those budget measures passed through the Parliament. Let's look in on the latest goings-on in Canberra. This first sitting day of the session, we're joined by Laura Tingle, political editor for the Australian Financial Review. Laura, good evening.
Good evening, Jonathan.
How's the buzz? What's the atmosphere?
It's a very, very non-buzzy buzz, I think you'd have to say. It is sort of quite strange, I think, Jonathan. I mean, as you said, it's the first sitting since Budget Week, yet the first half of question time, nobody was mentioning the budget. Normally, this is the session where somebody gets up and says, I refer you to Mrs. Smithers of my electorate, who's going to be whose life is going to be ruined by the budget. There was none of that. And of course, that's because, apart from anything else, apart from the fact that a lot of people aren't paying attention to politics because they all think Labor's going to lose and who cares what happens apart from that, both sides are basically supporting the budget because the coalition wants to get the spending cuts just as much as the government. So it's not in contention. So there's not really any of that usual post-budget outrage.
Well, there's a little bit around the fringes, though. The committee today hearing that Australia's spy agencies are somewhat under-resourced, and committee chair Labor's Anthony Byrne breaking ranks, saying that that's unacceptable. That must have caused a bit of a ripple.
Ripple. Yes, I think we're all very devastated that ASIO isn't getting enough money.
Yes, well, I guess
maybe
there
that's
is
just
that.
Me speaking personally. yes, well, that was about as exciting as it got, I suppose. But that sort of baseline, this is going to hurt the voters feeling, was not there. There's stuff around the edges. The coalition in question time, for example, was focusing on various forecasts which have come into question. There's this wonderful straight line method of forecasting the carbon price, which essentially is, here's the price now and here's the price where we want it to be as opposed to where it is likely to be, and drawing a line with a ruler between those two points. Now, you'd have to say it's a pretty dodgy way of predicting a price, and as a result, various poor bureaucrats had to suffer a lot of questions about it in estimates, and Wayne Swan faced questions from Joe Hockey about it in question time. But of course, when he was asked about it, he just said, oh, you're being very mean, Joe Hockey, you're just picking on those poor people in Treasury, and that's really outrageous. Whereas I think he could probably have done a bit better than that answering that question.
I suspect that he is the greatest retail politician of his generation, Laura, don't forget that. I suspect, though, that forecasts might be something of an estimates focus.
Well, I think they will be. There's the carbon price, which you've just talked about, the forecasts for how much money the government will raise via the mining tax, given that the resources boom sort of seems to have finished just as the tax gets going, yet they're forecasting a very big increase in mining tax collections. But I suppose that summarises a lot of what's going on in politics at the moment. It's sort of an interesting debating point how much money they're going to raise with the mining tax, but the presumption is so ingrained that Labor's going to lose and that the coalition will get rid of the mining tax. It's exceptionally academic what actually happens in terms of revenue collections and their forecasts.
That must make for a very strange sense around the place. It's like we've been sitting through this soap now for years, and someone skipped and watched the last episode, and we all know how it works out and sort of taken the sting out of it.
Well, I suppose that's true. The strange thing about it, though, Jonathan, is we have had a soap, particularly for the last 3 years, the Kevin and Julia soap. That has essentially ended, though somebody's always willing to revive the spectre of it. So we have had this sort of shift to a focus on policy a bit in the last few weeks, what is the coalition going to do? How much will it cost? Do they have the money for it? Has Labor showed that it can actually fund what it's going to do? And it struck me in question time today that if you actually look at what Labor is offering, one, and two, how they can sell that as being much better for voters. If it wasn't for the fact that nobody's listening to them and they were expected to lose office, there are a lot of policy positions where people would actually be materially better off on the basis of Labor's numbers because of things that the coalition is getting rid of. But whether that message actually gets through is very unlikely at this stage.
Now, one of the talking points today came from the lead story in this morning's quietly launched Guardian Australia, which suggested for a little while that the PM may not be inclined to hang around after a defeat in September, but that was quashed later in the day.
It was. Essentially, they asked her what her plans were should she lose the election, and she gave the standard leader's answer in these circumstances, which was, oh, I'm not thinking about losing. I'm thinking about winning the election, and, you know, I don't want to think anything further than just focusing on taking Labor home to a magnificent victory, some such thing. This sort of had a brief flurry as, what's Julia Gillard going to do? She won't commit, in one of those refuses to deny type question and answers. But the PM's office then came and said, well, no, she's committed to serving a full term if whatever happens, win or lose, and nothing to see here, and let's move on.
And just
it does, if I could just say,
yes, of course.
It does raise the interesting question, of course. It's an interesting exercise to look. I mean, you can't ever assume a uniform swing, but it's interesting to consider who's going to actually be left in Parliament based on the swings currently suggested by polls. And it's going to be a very interesting collection of warriors from all of these brawls of the last few years: Julia Gillard, Simon Crean, Martin Ferguson. A lot of the others will be gone, but they will all still be
into
there.
Thrown into sudden close proximity in the aftermath.
Yes, in a very small bench.
Oh dear. Quickly before we go too, any sign of the motion of no confidence that the opposition was once so keen on?
Yes, we've all been out with our Sherlock Holmes hats and magnifying glasses looking for
looking
that.
Looking for a trace. Yes.
Looking for a trace of it. It seems to have vanished into the wilderness. I think that will probably be blamed on the crossbenchers eventually, but despite the fact that Tony Abbott called a budget emergency in his reply to the budget, I think that's basically just going to die a bit of a death, that particular motion.
Oh, they seem so keen. Laura Tingle, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Laura is the political editor for the Australian Financial Review.